just a quick FYI, Sticky Pickles deals with mature themes and is not recommended for children. All right, let's go.
Okay, energy, amped up.
Woo, woo. Woo, 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 woo.
3, 2, 1, welcome to Sticky Pickles. Yay.
All right.
Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Carol.
And I'm Maria, and this is season 2, episode 31 of Sticky Pickles. Beet red and mentor a no-no. So, chums, we have a guest commentator today. Maybe you can guess who it is. Mr. Graham Cluley of a little podcast you might have heard of called Smashing Security.
Hello, hello. What a pleasure to be here. Back on the old pickle again. How gorgeous.
We're always glad to have you on our pickle. Now, Kroll wrote a little thing that I'm supposed to read in our script.
Why am I worried?
I was supposed to say, wonderful of you to come and piss on our parade. So are you going to piss in our parade today, Graham?
What? Is it that kind of show?
I guess only if we want you to, right?
Does it have a urinary element?
Well, it is about pickles.
I suppose it could.
I don't want to water down your content, okay? So
are we just content to you, Graham? Is that all we are?
I'm content to be here.
Oh, nicely. Well played. Well played. So speaking of things that are more than fine, Kroll, so what's your sticky pickle?
Beet red. Okay. So Langley is Herbert's, a.k.a. Herbie's new girlfriend.
What? Seriously?
Yep.
She's been named after CIA headquarters.
What?
So she's called Langley.
Look.
This is something I've noticed.
Don't judge people on names.
This is something, I'm not to piss on your parade, but this is something I've noticed about your podcast.
Here it is.
Is you just have the craziest names.
Okay, give us a name.
Well, we're international. He can give you a name. I'm sticking.
All right. Okay, so we got Langley and Herbert.
Herbie, yeah. Let's know him as Herbie, okay? And maybe girlfriend's a strong word. Maybe it's pushing it. They've only been on 3 dates.
All right. Yeah.
And they have yet to properly seal the deal, so to speak. Mm. But things so far are going swimmingly. Langley, is beautiful, funny, smart, kind, generous, supportive, right? And on top of all that, she comes up with like really cool ideas on what to do for dates. Like this week, they're planning a picnic with his friends so she can meet them in a nearby wood, you know, near a lake. And he's just thrilled.
Is that a bit early to meet friends on the third date? Is that?
I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. All
you
right.
are in your you are in your bicentennial decade, so maybe
what?
For
I'm
you,
not, my, right? I'm not 200. What are you talking about?
How old are you?
It means both. It means like half a. Doesn't it mean half a year and also double a year? Which is one of those wonderful.
So it's
things.
Up to our listeners to determine which
exactly.
one we mean. Oh, I like that.
Could
We're going to keep you guessing. Are you 200 years old?
Okay, now the day's here, the day of the picnic, and the weather is playing along, right? It's super hot and sunny. He picks her up, and his heart almost skips a beat because there she is in spotless white shorts, the cutest halter top you've ever seen, little bandana in her hair, holding up her massive hair, and she looks so good that Herbie gets an instant boner. So.
Oh.
It's a short one. No, this is sticky pickle number one, literally.
He's got tight little shorts on. And
he's got some kind of tight jean shorts that he cut himself.
Little waist and a big butt. You get sprung, yep. Et cetera. Okay.
Right.
Yep.
I'm badly quoting that song.
How do you handle a sitch, right? So you're sitting there in the car.
He likes big.
Okay, look. Now, I'm a man, right? So what? So I might know a thing or two about the penis. What is? So you're saying his shorts are quite short. Is his penis arranged in a sort of downward direction, like down one of?
Well, not anymore.
No, okay.
Not anymore. He keeps it upward. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
So it's straining against the
like the belt area. Is it?
No. Well, yeah. Yeah. It's kind of climbing
to the
belt.
Front, to the right, maybe a little bit. Do you think he's a righty, lefty?
Are you thinking it might protrude above the... I cannot believe...
A little poke out above the belt.
It's not my husband. Jesus.
Well, did we just get way too much information? Oh, my God.
He never listens. It's fine.
No one's going to be able to look him in the eye at all ever again.
They never do. Studio. I honestly. That's not what they look at. So what do you do?
What do you do? So he's worried she might notice. Is it actually?
Yes,
is it actually,
it's feet three.
They is it actually poking out above his belt?
No, it's okay. It's just causing a tenting effect.
A tenting. Okay, there's a tent. Attention.
Is
must
he
be paid.
In discomfort?
He is emotionally. Yeah.
I mean, there is one tried and trusted method. You know, if you need. I mean. Could he make...
Tell us. Well, I don't know what this is.
Could he maybe excuse himself for a few minutes?
Out of the car?
Oh, no. Don't do it out. Don't do it out the car window, especially not if you're driving. I got in trouble like that once. These days, it's not
allowed. Are we saying he's going to say, sorry, diarrhea, and then leave? Because apparently every episode we have to say that phrase.
Is he driving or is she driving?
He's driving. He's gone to pick her up. She's popped out of her house
looking sweet, sweetheart. There's not much he can do. Role other than think of Margaret Thatcher.
Squeeze his thigh muscles apparently is a thing. When I was in high school, a lot of my guy friends were like, if you squeeze your thigh muscles, like you tense them really hard, it can help with the boner.
But you also got to get out the car and help her with her bags, right, Maria? You got to help her with the bags and stuff.
Does he? He could just be like, sorry, I need a minute. Just going to put this book over my lap.
I think the thing to do is just not call any attention to it. Just completely act as though it hasn't happened and it let her think it's entirely her imagination.
Interesting.
That's pretty normal.
Well,
yep,
what okay. he decided to do was take his fanny pack, which he was wearing, and turned it around so it covered his swollen junk.
Okay, so bum bag for some of
bum
our
bag.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really don't like the phrase fanny pack.
So do you like bum bag or fanny pack?
Bum bag is all right, but fanny pack, it's just...
Bum bag.
That's the least
bum
sexy
bag.
Thing in the...
You don't like putting a bag on your fanny?
There are just some words. Fanny, pantyhose, bosom. There are just some words which just
Maybe you're gay. Maybe you're gay and you don't know it.
No, I'm a highly heterosexual man. I think we all know that. It's just...
Do you, Maria?
I don't know how to answer that question. I mean,
should we just crack on?
Anyway,
him?
Carry on. I just don't use that word again, please.
Fanny.
Graham, just know that I designed the story just for you.
Right.
It is actually a name. There are some people whose name is actually Fanny.
So off they go. Off they go. She is none the wiser, doesn't seem to notice anything. Thank God. Yes. Thanks, Herbie. Off they go. And they soon arrive at their wooded, you know, near the lakeside location,
right.
Part picnic location. And they're not the first ones there. All the other people are there. So Herbie introduces Langley to his buddies, Sarah, Sid, and Ellen.
Okay.
All normal names, I notice.
Sarah's pretty normal.
Yes, and Sid and Ellen. They're all fairly normal names, apart from the freaks
Cinderella.
Who are called Herbie and Langley.
Langley. I could, you know what? I bet out in Utah there are people named Langley, but it's spelled with like an E-I-G-H thing going on.
Now, they all seem nice at first, but then after a bit of time, Langley's kind of like, Ellen's a little bit weird.
Oh, is this like Midsommar? Are they all going to die?
There's three things, right, that Langley has in her head that she's just not liking a lot. Right. So number one, Ellen asks a lot of questions, but they seem laden with a curiosity that makes Langley feel uncomfortable. Like Ellen's trying to catch her out in a lie or point out an inconsistency or something.
Okay.
Hey, Langley, what would you do if your boyfriend had a huge boner?
Exactly.
Was it that kind of question?
Wait, like gotcha questions? So like, why did you stop beating your wife kind of gotcha questions?
Kind of. Yeah, what kind of job do you do? Oh, really? And what job, what level are you at? And how much, it must pay a lot. Does it pay a lot? Like kind of things where you're like,
how do you afford those shoes? You know, did you steal them?
You say you have a podcast.
Yeah.
Well.
Or two. Yeah. I heard you have two.
Oh, two podcasts. One wasn't good enough for you, huh?
Batch.
Number two, Ellen brought all meat-based things, even though the invite did say that Langley was a veggie. Right? Now, obviously, Herbie.
Maybe she thought that meant that she's an actual vegetable.
Well, maybe. He's like, she was shocked to see she wasn't a piece of celery. Yeah.
I am a zucchini. I identify as zucchini. Thank you very much.
Well, Herbie brought an eggplant.
That's the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. See you next week.
But then Ellen kind of apologizes way too quickly for the fact that she forgot about Ellen being veggie. Right. And, you know, it just left a bad taste in Ellen's mouth.
Unlike the charcuterie board. Yeah, okay.
And three, Langley keeps catching Ellen, like, kind of just staring at her with this blank look on her face. So, like, what do you do? Like, you kind of just go, yo, 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 Ellen, what up? Right? Or do you kind of take Herbie aside and say,
yes,
what is up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You go to Herbie and you say, how come your friend there is a bit of a freak?
She's going to murder me in the yes. woods, isn't she? Okay.
Would you do that?
If I was feeling extraordinarily uncomfortable, I might be like, am I going to die out here?
It's not like she put a knife to your neck or anything at this stage, right?
Yet. So. Yet.
Are they swingers? Are they all swingers? Is Herbie a swinger?
You'll have to wait for the story to find out.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Is there like a basket full of keys anywhere?
No. No, there's no basket lying on the grass near the stream of basketful keys. Now, Langley realizes she's kind of obsessing over Ellen, who is just a third of the friends that she needs to meet. And she decides, you know what? Who cares? I don't like her. I'm not going to let her bother me. I'm going to sit with Sid and...
Maybe they just have resting bitch face. You know, maybe they're really friendly people.
Right.
But they just got that kind of face.
Some people do have that face.
Some people do have a nasty face.
Yeah,
that's true.
So she's sitting with Sid and Sarah, both of whom she thinks are lovely, gassing away about everything and nothing, getting to know each other. Great, great, great. Having a little cucumber sandwich, you know, little bit of Pimm's, all nice.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Then this sniggering starts. This kind of evil giggle. Do you know what I mean? This kind of like, I don't know.
Is it kind of like a wheezy laugh? There we go. There it is.
I'm really, really terrified now. This sounds like a Stephen King book. This sounds like a...
I'm telling you, they're going to die.
Well, someone's going to die in a way. Someone's going to die in a way. Because Ellen starts singing Little Red Corvette by Prince and bursts into this fit of giggles. And Langley again decides to ignore it. She's just like, she's such a bitch, right? But it gets louder and louder. And suddenly Sam goes, holy fuck, Langley, you're covered in blood. And Langley looks down, and basically her time of the month has come.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Badly.
What?
Graham, it happens.
I thought this was the diarrhea show. I didn't know.
Yeah, we're going for all the bodily functions. Wait, how old are these people? How old are they?
In their 30s.
And this is how they're reacting?
Yes.
Damn, what assholes. Total assholes.
Are they not allowed to have a human sacrifice if it's...
Look, I don't know. I don't know what your experience is with men dealing with this sort of thing when you're wearing white trousers, but it's never been good in my experience.
But like the bursting out in song and...
Oh, no, but Ellen's just a bitch. Yeah,
that's... I mean,
Ellen now is nodding madly, right? After Sam said, oh my God, you're covered in blood. Ellen is like squealing like a little piglet in poop, right? And at the same time, Herbie stands up to try and help Langley.
Yeah.
He passes out.
What?
He's not good with blood.
Wait, what?
He's not good with blood. And as he gets up, he goes to go help her and he just goes,
Is he also in his 30s?
Yes.
Is he a virgin?
This is not the best date ever, I have to say.
No. Langley is like strangely paralyzed, right? Part of her wants to run and hide. She also wants to check if Herbie has died or not.
Fuck him.
Oh, who cares about him?
Yeah, who gives a shit? Yeah.
He was coming to help her and he passed out. It's not his fault.
Well, no, it is his fault. What an idiot.
What did he stand up too quickly?
Well, all that blood had gone from his head. Remember?
Yes. So exactly.
It is possible.
Plus, fainted. That charcuterie board, it all went to his tummy. Anyway, yeah, that poor little Herbie.
She wants to punch that bitch Ellen in the face.
I think
because she's still currently howling with laughter and crying and singing "Little Red Corvette" still under her breath and crying.
That's the most asshole thing I could possibly imagine somebody doing in this situation. My God.
And she's trying to say that she's sorry. So she keeps kind of going, "Little Red, sorry, sorry, sorry." Crying, 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 laughing, laughing. And then, you know, on it goes the loop. So you're the blood soaked Langley. What do you do now?
What?
Is there a restroom? I'm like, how in the woods am I here? Is there like a bathroom somewhere?
Yeah, I just think I'd just go back to the car and just say you're all horrible.
Yeah, I would not say
what for passing out.
No, all of them are horrible. Why is nobody else punching?
What
this
would be the right
woman?
Thing to do? What would you have preferred? Okay, so let's say you're now
shout, shut the fuck up! You're a bunch of assholes, exactly. And then leave. Like
Okay, but so you find yourself covered in blood in this situation and someone else notices, what would you hope happens?
Well, you're not covered in blood, are you? You're not covered in blood. This isn't like that scene in Carrie.
If you have torrents of blood, yeah, it's not Carrie.
If you have a heavy flow day, Grim, and you're wearing white shorts, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, okay, you're not covered in it. I mean, you don't have to get too nasty, but like, you're not like literally head to toe gleaming.
Right.
No, it's not like Carrie.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying. It's not like Carrie. Yeah. You know, you've got a leak happening, and any person, any normal human being, I don't care what gender you are, would probably be like, let me discreetly let you know what's going on and maybe help you out. Like, not laugh at you, Jesus.
Surely, as she's a vegetarian, she's in touch with nature. Could she not gather some leaves and some witch hazel and some plants which could maybe assist with this problem? What did they used to do in medieval times?
They would get a rag. I don't know.
Right.
They would tear off some clothing.
This is a picnic. They must have tablecloths and things.
Which doesn't anyone have a sweater that she can wrap around her
waist?
Take Herbie's
clothes off. Herbie doesn't need his clothes.
Well, you're now where she is. She is. She ignores Ellen's hooting, snatches up the pink picnic blanket, which of course drops a lot of plates of food everywhere, and wraps it around her middle. Mm. And then she grabs one of the Tupperwares and runs to the lake to collect water, saying a splash should wake up Herbie. But as she waddles back with this Tupperware full of water and, you know, her blanket around her waist, and she has to walk by Ellen, who's still chuckling, she decides that maybe Ellen is a little hot under the collar and needs a soak.
Yeah.
With what?
Yep.
I realized how your mind works. That's all.
Oh.
Maria, your turn. Tell us about Mentor and No-No.
Okay, so there are three characters in my story. The first and most important character, her name is Dolores.
Dolores.
Yeah, I'm taking notes. Dolores.
Okay, right. So Dolores is almost 70 years old. She's quite happily retired. And she had an extraordinary professional career. She worked her way all the way up the CEO ladder, made a boatload of money doing business things. She knows how to work the corporate world, and she has taken a lot
of jobs.
No, actually.
Just checking.
How's that working?
That's what it was in my day.
How's that working out for you, Crow?
I left the corporate world a long time ago for a reason.
Yes, yeah. You weren't progressing very well, were you?
I wasn't interested in the offerings. Yeah.
My goodness. All right. Well, no, Dolores was more of the nose to the grindstone, working 100 plus hour weeks.
That's not a euphemism.
Oh, sorry.
Nope.
I see.
No, none of this is a euphemism. Just think of your stereotypical first person in the office, last person to leave, no life but work type person, and that's Dolores.
I like her. She sounds lovely. I just like older women. I love, if I'm going to a party, I will single out the ladies in their 70s and 80s because they're always good for a story. And I think Dolores sounds like she's worked
definitely
hard. She's going to have loads of stories. She sounds like fun. So I'm yeah, all for Dolores.
Dolores is definitely a very good person. She's a delight, mm-hmm, delightful host. She's got like a vacation home in the Hamptons. She's got a lot of money. She loves to host things. And she also likes to take people under her wing.
Does she have a weak heart as well? Because that's something I also
is
find
she
attractive.
Looking to remarry is sort of what,
yes.
oh my God.
No. Dolores is very happily married. Oh, okay, okay. But it's actually kind of inconsequential to the story. Dolores is just successful, moneyed, and a fantastic person to mentor the younger generations of
paid her dues. Paid her dues and is willing to share her vast knowledge with the kids.
Yes, and she wants to help women understand who are trying to climb the corporate ladder. She's trying to help them especially understand like how they can do it.
Okay.
So Dolores is a mentor to many younger women who are say in their 40s. One of her mentees names is Riley.
Riley. Riley. Is that okay name, Greg?
Not terribly happy of it, but anyway, we'll carry on.
Now, Dolores met Riley at a formal mentorship program when Riley was in her 20s, like just starting to figure out where she wanted to go in her career direction. Dolores has been following Riley's career with great interest over the last decade or so, and she's watched Riley work extraordinarily hard, putting in the extra hours, networking, doing the hard projects, getting shit done, like being a badass boss bitch, all that good stuff.
And still getting paid less than the man counterpart.
But, you know, Dolores is helping her with salary negotiations. So, you know, all that good stuff. Dolores has become so close to Riley that when Riley got married, when she was around 35 or so, Dolores was actually like the matron of honor.
Whoa.
Oh, cool.
The mentor-mentee relationship, like it's almost become like grandmother or mother to daughter. They really trust each other and they're in each other's lives a lot. Mm-hmm. It needs to be said, though, that Dolores is really not a fan of Riley's husband, Ian.
Oh.
Because what Dolores knows of Riley is primarily Riley's life at work. Extremely hardworking, putting in ungodly amounts of hours, doing these extraordinarily hard projects. She figures that someone like that probably married a person who would be like an equal partner to her.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Dolores was extremely distraught upon meeting Ian and Riley in their home post after they got married, that Ian is, putting it gently, a lump on a log. He does nothing around the house. Riley, who works all these crazy hours at work, is also waiting on Ian hand and foot at home, doing all the cooking, doing all the cleaning, running the entire household. Ian does literally nothing.
Well, he must do something to keep her happy.
Does Ian have a job?
He has like a very, very low paying, low ambition, like not a challenging job. Riley is by far and away the breadwinner in their household.
Okay.
And Dolores is looking at it going, you know, every relationship's got its dynamics. Like if it's working for them, it's working for them. But I don't understand how Riley is maintaining working so hard at work and doing full throttle, doing literally all the hard work at home as well. Like, I don't understand how this adds up. She's going to burn out.
Do they have kids as well or no kids?
They do not have kids.
Okay. All right.
But Dolores is like, you know what? You know, they got to figure this out. And, you know, they've only been married a year, so I'll hold.
Good, Dolores. Good job. Good job.
A year,
honey,
passes. 2 years pass. 5 years pass. Dolores is still very much in Riley's life, and she sees that this dynamic between Riley and her husband Ian is staying exactly the same. Ian is not picking up more of the slack at home. Riley, if anything, is waiting on him even more hand and foot. Like she won't with her huge amounts of money that she's making now. She won't even hire somebody to come and clean the house. She's still doing all that stuff.
Okay, why?
Because she feels that she should be doing it. She wants to do it. She enjoys doing it. I don't know. A combination of all those things.
Maybe she thinks Ian does such a bad job of it that she thinks if it's going to be
done properly. Very possible. It could be a control freak thing. It's very possible.
Well, also, I think I may have heard it said that some men are quite bad at household chores deliberately in order that they don't get asked again. Like,
are they, Graham?
Well, no, I don't know whether it's a sitcom motif or not, but the whole idea of men being bad at, you know, doing the laundry or ironing and, you know.
I think it's less Ian's not good or bad. It's either he's not being given a chance or he doesn't bother because he knows that Riley's going to literally take care of everything because she's such a hyper-competent person in all regards. Dolores can't help but notice that the bags under Riley's eyes are getting deeper and deeper, and she is just looking more and more run down, especially as she rounds the corner around 40 years old.
Maybe they have a very, very active sex life. Maybe Ian is incredible in the sack.
This is very possible.
Maybe he'd need two fanny packs to hide what he has going on.
It's not adding up for Dolores. She's like, I don't understand this. I've never seen something like this work out long term. But you know what? If it's working for them, fine. I'll hold my tongue.
Yeah. And Riley's not bitching about this, presumably.
Riley is not bitching about it. But she's very quietly, seems to be kind of quietly bearing it. You know what I mean? It'd be one thing if she was going to Dolores bitching about it, then Dolores would be like, well, let me tell you what's going on. But nope, Riley is like, this dynamic is apparently working for me. So fast forward. Now, Riley is about 42 years old. And Dolores has known Riley now for about 20 years. And Ian and Riley have been married for 7 years now. And inevitably, you can almost guess what's going to happen next, maybe.
7-year itch?
No.
Does the washing machine break down and a repairman comes around? And he's quite...
It's not a porn show!
No. While Dolores and Riley are enjoying a lovely kale salad lunch on the veranda at Dolores' magnificent beachfront home on the Hamptons, she notices that Riley is not drinking her usual glass of Chardonnay.
Oh.
And Dolores goes, And by the end of the conversation, it doesn't take much for Riley to say, Dolores, I'm pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And Dolores bursts out laughing. And then when she comes to, she goes, are you serious?
Does she also start singing Little Red Corvette by Prince or anything like that? Is there...
She was the last person, Riley was the last person on earth Dolores ever thought would have a kid, especially in her home situation.
Right.
And Dolores it was just a visceral reaction. Like, how on earth could you of all people have a kid with everything that you've got going on? And of course, Riley is offended, horrified, crushed. And she doesn't understand Dolores' reaction. And then basically, Dolores lays it on her. All the things that she's been holding her tongue about, all of these judgments that she's had, she just pours out. Well, Riley wants to know, why are you laughing? What's so funny about this? And Dolores goes, well, I just see how you and Ian are at home. And, you know, he's not really doing anything around the house and you're doing everything and you're not even hiring any help. How on earth are you going to introduce a baby to this dynamic? You're going to be doing everything all over again. Well, is he going to do anything or is he just going to be yet another lump on a log? Well, you have two children at this point.
Well, fuck you very much, Dolores, for mentioning this now. I'm pregnant. If you just mentioned it a few weeks ago, maybe I'd have got out of this situation.
I mean, it's not too late.
But she's had years and years to tell it. Dolores, I liked Dolores. I don't.
You liked her because she was 70.
Yeah.
That's why you liked her.
I don't like her anymore.
People can hold their tongue, but sometimes things maybe go to a point where she can't hold her tongue anymore. Like, it's just like the straw that broke the camel's back, perhaps.
Maybe.
So do you think there's any chance of Dolores repairing this relationship, of fixing her fuck up? Because she knows she should not have laughed, but she really just was like, listen, I'm like 70 plus. I don't give fucks anymore. Like, I've seen it all. And I know how this is going to go. It's not going to go well. And I just cannot imagine. It is such a bad decision for someone in your situation. Like, what on earth are you thinking?
She can totally recover this. It's elementary how you do it. What you do, if you are caught unexpectedly laughing at somebody and you later realize that it was inappropriate, what you begin to do is you randomly pepper into your conversations, probably for the rest of your life, random laughter. And you explain that you have this condition. It's very rare.
A bit like Tourette's. Yeah. A bit like Tourette's, but laughter.
You just start laughing randomly. So if she does that.
Laughter flatulence kind of thing.
Yeah, Riley will realize that it wasn't directed at her.
I mean, it's judgy, that laughter. It was very judgy. But was it entirely unmerited?
People older than me, maybe by a generation or more, are very comfortable being judgy and applying their, you know, their sense on the matter.
Yes.
And I've decided look, I thought I knew everything at 20. When I became 40, I realized I didn't know everything at 20. So the way I look at it now is like, when I'm 70, I'm probably going to know a lot more than I know now, unless I go mental. So, like, maybe they're onto something.
I think it's a privilege of age. Yeah.
Yeah, the bitchiness of the laugh, though, would get to me, that tone. Same as my story, right? There's the tone in the laugh that doesn't feel good.
No, it's definitely, it sucks. It sucks that Dolores laughed, but there's a nugget of maybe there's something to it. Yeah.
You know what? She has to fucking offer Nanny. She just has to go, look, he doesn't do much, your guy Ian, so I'm going to look after your kid because I'm retired now. So you carry on your career. I will offer you 4 hours of childcare
like
a day.
Like hell she's going to do that.
Monday to Friday. Well, Dolores, that's where the love would come.
Yeah, that but would... Dolores never had kids of her own. She didn't want to have kids because who the fuck wants that kind of trouble? So why would she offer to watch someone else's kid? No, she's basically saying, good luck. It's not very nice, but yeah, someone like that's not going to offer childcare for real.
I just think, actually, to Graham's point, it's not useful. This information is not useful right now. She's pregnant. She's married. She's, you know, she's the solo bread earner. This is not useful or helpful information. It's basically saying you fucked up.
Yep.
And maybe by knowing you, Dolores, I fucked up.
That's an interesting idea.
Because a friend is someone who's there when you need them, not sitting there, you know.
That's very true. Are they friends? They're like friend mentors, though. It's kind of the
not very encouraging.
No. Dolores prides herself on being very tell it like it is, but that definitely, yeah.
Dolores, if she really liked Riley and didn't want Riley to have kids, she could have bought her 1 year as a birthday present, saying a hysterectomy or something like that, couldn't she?
just here, get your yeet your uterus. You know. It's like.
I mean, she's obviously got some money in the bank, so it wouldn't have hurt her to give that.
That's what that house in the Hamptons is.
Right.
That would have been a kid, right. But it's a house instead.
Yeah, she needs to buy a really, really nice baby come to the world gift.
Oh,
right?
To make up for it, yeah. Or maybe pay for like a year of childcare or something. Like, she's not going to do it herself, but pay for it, yeah.
Or get a hitman to take out.
No, the dad? Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's useless. We've heard he's useless.
There'd be very little difference to Riley. Yeah, he's useless. There'd be very little difference to Riley.
He may be very loving. It's not about productivity in a husband. It's about a lot more than that.
I think we need to get rid of him. I think maybe
he's... Wow!
He has to go.
I'm calling end to this. That's it for this week's Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Subscribe and review. And a number of you have. Actually, we got a truly excellent review this week.
Did
Maria
we really?
Yes, I copied and pasted it. Maybe you could read it out.
Yeah, oh my gosh, look at this. Okay, stories your mother never told you. Ooh la la. All right, so the review says, Sticky Pickles is a shorter podcast with lots of laughing. If you want a break from your serious economic, political, or climate change podcast, this is the pod for you. A lot of fun. Carol and Maria are quite the storytellers. Why, thank you.
Thank you very much.
They take sticky situations from people's naughty lives or the internet. They embellish the storylines, usually making the situations even more naughty. Then one host asks the other what the characters could have done instead. Hilarity and or outrage ensue. By Angry Bird Me. Thank you, Angry Bird Me.
Cute, right?
A lovely review.
That was, I know.
Honestly, the best review ever. Thank you so much. Angry Bird Me.
You can get in touch with us on social media. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter and at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram.
Yep.
You can even email us your Sticky Pickles at hello@stickypickles.com. Anything else you can find on stickypickles.com. See you next week before we take a month-long holiday. Next week is our last week for 5 weeks. So be there, be square.
Oh my God, can't wait. Blah, 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 blah. Bye-bye.
Cheerio.
Thank you for helping us, Graham. It was very useful.
I got to say chumps, chumps, chumps.
You did.
I did. I'm so glad. That was a bucket list thing for me. My life is sad.